This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Live from the Geico Outkick Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And we're brought to you by TrueCar. When it comes to selling or trading in your car, you need to make good choices. And with TrueCar, you've got a star on your roster. So when you're ready to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar. True cash offer not available in all areas. What is available in all areas? How about Outkick? As we get geared up for what should be, I hope, a decent performance by me on the golf course, I am going to be down in Memphis today playing in a, they're not quite calling it a pro-am, but it is effectively the pro-am for what is a big event down in Memphis, the PGA Championship and the WGC event, which basically has every top golfer in the world coming in right off of the British Open, except for Tiger Woods, who obviously has still got some health conditions. In terms of big names, almost everybody else is going to be there. And when you think illustrious golf performances, you definitely think Clay Travis. I don't know how anybody else could think anything other than that. And I'm doing the show today with Jason Martin. Bring in at JMart Zone, who set in last week for me. But we have a list, and I thought this would be fun, kind of get people rolling here on a Wednesday. The list of celebrities that are participating in this event. And I was going to have you kind of roughly assess where I am pegged on the celebrity list.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So we've got a huge list here of all the different celebrities that are taking place. And I'm going to go, I'm reading from the list provided by, this is the Memphis Commercial Appeal newspaper. And this went up a couple days ago. And, I will have you, I will give my opinion, then you give your opinion on whether or not I am more famous than these people. All right?
This is the height of egotism right here. This is Outkick in a nutshell right here.
All right. And we start because the big sports figures that are in the city of Memphis right now, you got Penny Hardaway, who's killing it on the recruiting trail. Penny Hardaway, undoubtedly way more famous than me. I'm actually excited to meet Penny Hardaway. I don't know if we've ever met in person before, but I do think it'll be good to get to meet him. Memphis basketball is back under Penny Hardaway. So there's no dispute that Penny Hardaway is more famous than me, right?
Correct. Yes, yes, he absolutely is.
All right. T.O. is also going to be there. Terrell Owens, Hall of Fame wide receiver. No dispute that T.O. is more famous than me, right?
Correct.
And by the way, this is an interesting thing because you remember like the Super Bowl last year, I wanted to go to the DirecTV party and I was asking them whether I qualified as a celebrity. And I think it kind of gets into what counts as a celebrity because like in sports talk radio in general, Dan Patrick and Colin Cowherd are more famous than me, right? They're on Fox Sports Radio and part of our network. Gottlieb and I are relatively equal. I don't think there's that much difference than Broussard and Rob Parker, like in that universe, right? So I would say that Cowherd and Dan Patrick are on a different level. But even in sports talk radio, Jim Rome, maybe because he's been around for a long time, like, are those guys celebrities or not? Probably so, right? Wouldn't you say those three guys are celebrities?
The three guys, who, name them one more time for me?
I would say Cowherd, I would say Dan Patrick, and I would say Jim Rome are celebrities.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, but after that, like, I don't, would like, for instance, Gottlieb and I be celebrities?
Yeah,
right? I'm kind of in that middle ground.
There's a gray area here. You're in purgatory.
I'm in purgatory on celebrity standing here. So I can understand, like, if people don't remember, I emailed back to DirecTV, and I was like, hey, I'd love to come to your event. Do I classify as a celebrity? Do I qualify? Because I'd like to watch the Foo Fighters, and DirecTV, like they didn't have any idea how to respond because I don't know that they've ever had anybody directly email them before and say, hey, am I a celebrity or not? So I thought that was pretty interesting in and of itself that they had no idea how to respond. But okay, so off the top here, Penny Hardaway, T.O., clearly celebrities, way more famous than me. All right, here we go. Muffet McGraw, Notre Dame women's basketball head coach. I think I'm more famous than Muffet McGraw.
I think you are, too. I think more people know who Clay Travis is than know who Muffet McGraw is, with all due respect to Miss McGraw.
And women's basketball in
Correct.
General.
Yeah, I was trying not to go there, like, but yes.
But, I mean, like, Gino Auriemma would be more famous than me.
So
but
famous that you can't pronounce his last name, Gino Auriemma.
Yeah, close enough. But I think Muffet McGraw, maybe the most famous Muffet that not...
One that sat on her tuffet. I think Little Miss Muffet is still probably a little bit more famous than Muffet McGraw.
Muffet McGraw. All right. So I'm more famous than one. J.R. Smith, this is going to be incredible if I'm in his group, because I'm kind of wondering if he'll play shirtless. Clearly, J.R. Smith, more famous than me.
Yeah, but you possibly have a chance with a photo op where you can recreate LeBron James pointing in the opposite direction from last year.
Oh, that
like, there's
be,
an opportunity to do something really good and create something that might make you more famous.
That would be actually really funny if we did that. All right, so those three of those first four are more famous. Colton Underwood, he's from The Bachelor.
Yeah, you're talking to the wrong guy here. I'm sure there are some women that might know who that is. I have no clue who that is, so I'm going to say it's you in this case, even though I know how big The Bachelor is. But look, not everybody that went on American Idol is more famous than you or than somebody that's around all the time. This is season 23 of The Bachelor. I don't know how many seasons there have been. I don't know if he's current. I don't know enough about The Bachelor, but I just feel like name recognition, I doubt it.
I'm not sure. I honestly don't know on that, because The Bachelor has a huge audience. I'm going to disagree with you. I think he's more famous than I am.
Okay.
Because there are millions of people who watch The Bachelor, and he's on television. My television show is nowhere near in the stratosphere of The Bachelor. And certainly, like, for men, I might be better known than Colton. But for women, I mean, like, he is infinitely better. So I'm going to say he's more famous than I am. All right, Eric Sleepy Floyd.
Mm. I see, that's tough because he is an NBA player.
NBA player.
Yeah, I think thanks for that clarification. Yeah. I feel like I know the name Sleepy Floyd, and a lot of people know the name Sleepy Floyd, but how many know Sleepy Floyd?
Yeah,
he played in the NBA. I think it's you.
I think I'm more famous. Chris Harrison, he is the host of ABC's The Bachelor. I mean, if I'm excited to meet somebody, they're definitely more famous than me.
Yeah.
He is way more famous than me. Here's an interesting one. Bill Hemmer.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Co-anchor of America's Newsroom on Fox News.
Yeah, I mean, he's on every single day.
What time is he on?
America's Newsroom is kind of like their show surrounding all the bloviators and those that opine. So it's like he's in the morning sometimes from 9 to 12. Sometimes you can pop up in the afternoon. He was part of their election night coverage. He's become the guy that stands by the big monitor with the touch screen. He's the one that handles all of that. So he's pretty recognizable. It just depends on if you watch Fox News or not, because if not, it's not like he's Bill O'Reilly from back in the day or Tucker Carlson, who is immediately recognizable.
Or, you know, like if you're not a Fox News person, it's not like he is like on CNN, Wolf Blitzer, or Anderson Cooper, like people that everybody knows.
I mean, even people know, I mean, if you want to go even further left, even like MSNBC, I don't watch it, but I know Rachel Maddow.
Right.
He's not that. He's not one of those kind of personalities.
But I think he's probably more famous than me, just because Fox News is so popular. I mean, there are millions of people who watch it.
Probably.
All right, Drew Holcomb.
He's good. He's really talented, but I still think it's you. Like, Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors are a really good band, and especially locally, they're a really good band. They've been around for a while, but I still think it's you, because I just don't know how many people that aren't real music heads, that aren't from this area in particular, know who Drew Holcomb is.
Yeah, I was going to say me. I have no earthly idea who that guy is.
That's what I thought. That was my guess. Like, it's not the lead singer of Imagine Dragons, so it might be you.
Yeah, I have no idea who that is, so I'm going to say I'm more famous than him. What about Andrew Howard? He's evidently from Limitless and The Watchmen. I don't know this guy. I think I got to be more famous than this guy.
Well, Watchmen is what's coming out on HBO this fall, and it's going to be huge. Limitless made it one season. Hatfield McCoy's was a limited series. It did really well on History Channel.
Is he related to Ron Howard?
I don't know, and I'm not going to get that wrong by acting like I do know. I think it's probably you. I just don't think enough people. They might recognize his face, but I think it's probably you.
This is your wheelhouse, because you know me and my audience, but you also know every actor in every show that's ever existed, so you're going to be more aware of these than I am. All right, next, Dahani Jones, who was a former NFL player, and I guess he's on TV now. zero doubt that I think am more famous than Donnie Jones.
Yeah, Dahani Jones is, I think he actually is more known for some of the media stuff that he's done with the Colin Cowherds and the Baylesses and those guys of the world appearing on Fox and appearing on ESPN back in the day as well, but I don't think he is any kind of recognizable name outside of the hardest core sports circles.
And by the way, I don't know any of these people. So I know one name, like I've hung out with one of these guys in normal life. So and he's been on my television show before. We'll get to him in a little bit. Alan Leach from Downton Abbey. At least I pronounced that correctly because I know a lot of you out there think it's not pronounced downtown. And Bohemian Rhapsody. I have no idea who this guy is.
I don't either. I'd have to look him up.
So it's got to be me.
Yeah, it's you.
Okay, Bodie Miller. I feel like Bodie Miller
is
really well known because he was in so many Olympics over the years. Like I've never met Bodie Miller, but I feel like I kind of know him. We're around the same age because how many Olympics was he in? Like 3 or 4 different Winter Olympics, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was a pretty big name there for a while. I think he probably has you licked on this.
All right. Do you watch Big Little Lies?
No, not really.
I mean, I know that show on HBO has become very popular. Catherine Newton.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, we're not looking at Reese Witherspoon here. We're not looking at Meryl Streep here. We're not looking at the ones that are more known. I think that right now, because Big Little Lies just finished up its second season and it's kind of been talked about quite a bit over the past couple of months, maybe she has more name recognition right now. But Catherine Newton is not a name that I think you're going to see. I'm like, oh, Catherine Newton's playing today. I've got to make sure I watch that.
All right, Brad Penny.
Yeah, pitched in Florida, I believe, when they were still the Florida Marlins back in the
day. I think it's me.
I think it's probably you, yes.
Sterling Sharpwind. Sterling Sharpwind.
I think so. I mean, at least for me, I know him, and I watched his entire pro career.
How much of him also gets the benefit of being Shannon Sharp's brother?
Maybe a little bit. I mean,
Shannon Sharp is more famous now than Sterling Sharp.
No question, and that's because he's more of a boisterous personality. And Sterling Sharp went the I'm going to go quiet and do the X's and O's route on the NFL Network, where he's actually one of the better ones, even though he's not on TV nearly as much. But yeah, I think it's probably you, or it might be Sterling Sharp.
Nick Swisher.
Got to be Nick Swisher because he played for the Yankees.
Yeah, I know. And Swish, I know because he comes on our show on Lock It In pretty regularly. He's a good dude. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually, at least there'll be one person that I know out on the course. Joe Theismann, no doubt, right? I mean, Theismann is a really big name.
Yes.
Here's one that I'm curious if you know. Bruce Thomas from Legally Blonde. Now, first of all, Legally Blonde is like 20 years old.
Yes.
I have no idea who Bruce Thomas is.
Yeah, I'm looking him up right now. Yeah, that film came out in 2001. And like, if you look at his face, you're like, I might have seen him in other stuff. But he's not ever done anything even major. I'm looking through like his IMDb, and he's done a lot of stuff, but he shows up in one episode, so he's kind of one of those dudes. He did do The Bold and the Beautiful, some episodes of that, and a few Beverly Hills 90210s classics back in the day. I just don't think, like, that's not a name that registers to me, so I think that's you too.
Big win there. And then the last one on this list, Gary Williams. He hosts Morning Drive on the Golf
Channel. It's not. I mean, that one's not close. That one's you. If it was Gary Williams, the former Maryland basketball coach, maybe we could have a different argument. But indeed, it is not.
All right. So I pretty squarely would be middle range on this, you think, based on the way we've described it?
Yeah, and I think if you make an ass out of yourself, you could become a bigger star. This week, like, you could become the star just based on being yourself tomorrow at the Pro-Am or later on today at the Pro-Am.
That should be intriguing to keep up with. All right, we'll bring all this to bear with Petros Papadakis, who's going to join us next. And this is an important issue that we had on the show. You guest hosted last week.
Yep.
I neglected to let Petros know that I was going to be on vacation. And as a result, Petros called in and what happened? Like, you knew that he was calling in, or you didn't know?
I had no idea. I had told Danny. I said, hey, Danny, you can tell Petros he can go ahead and have the week off. And so I just said, I mentioned the guys that I felt like we still wanted to have for sure, and maybe Petros just wanted to take a week since you were taking it off. And so Danny gave me the information on the three guys, did not tell me anything about Petros. I certainly had no idea he was calling in. No one ever told me through my earpiece or anything that he was coming in, so I just went right on through and hosted the show. Apparently, I have disrespected Petros Papadakis. This is a thing.
We're going to have a confrontation about this, because yesterday during the show, And I got blown up about it because people were tweeting me about it. This is from Kelly Sam. Last week, your fill-in host, Jason Martin and Jeff Schwartz, and she tagged you guys on these, interviewed regular OutKick guests Frank Isola and John Morosi, but not Petros.
Also Alex Marvez.
Yeah, I sense a rift, perhaps East Coast bias. Mm. And so we're going to have to get into this. East Coast bias from Jason Martin. What has happened to his relationship, if any, with Petros Papadakis? We will discuss next. This is OutKick on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of OutKick, the coverage with Clay Travis, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back, Geico OutKick Studios. Car shopping can be confusing with terms like dealer price, list price, and invoice. TrueCar shows you what other people paid for the car you want so you can recognize a good price when you're ready to buy a new or used car. Visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Joined now by Petros Papadakis at the Old P on Twitter. And this is we got a little bit of a controversy because last week, I will accept blame partly for this, I didn't reach out to Petros and tell him I was on vacation. That's on me. But I also thought that everybody else was going to reach out and like he would know. But anyway, you called the show on Tuesday at your normal guest time. And what happened?
Nothing.
Like, you talked to the producer, though, right? He answered the phone.
Some guy answered that I didn't know, did not have a rapport with me, and told me that you were on vacation in Colorado, which I should have figured out because I do follow you on Twitter, and then told me he was so sorry, and then asked me if I wanted to go on with two guys and talk about youth sports. Because that was the topic they were into. And I politely declined and hung up the phone and went to sleep.
All right, so this is interesting.
That was it. I mean, do you want something else? Now,
no,
of course,
no, no.
You know, I went on the radio.
What do you think? So Jason Martin is here with me right now, who was guest hosting then, and he wasn't even told that you ever called in.
Nope.
Is that the guy that couldn't figure out my landline?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
Really? Put all my business out.
I'm just trying to clarify who's who.
Yes. So I think the producer, who I don't even know who the producer that was sitting in, because my normal producer's not there, has an obligation to let the host know that there's a regular guest who is called in so he could at least make a determination about what to do.
Well, I don't think that's fair. If I was hosting a show and I had it all set up and it wasn't something I regularly did, and then some random slappy from the West Coast that I don't know or probably despise if I do know calls in, and then some guy gets on his ear like, hey, we got to put this guy on. Hey, Petros, what's up? I mean, you know, what? I mean, I don't blame anybody for the situation. I was just extremely bitter because I had a hard time falling back to sleep,
of course.
And it ruined my day.
No, I totally understand. And also, I didn't realize anything had happened until I checked my Twitter feed, and evidently it had blown up into a major controversy. So
I missed the Twitter controversy, but I don't monitor Twitter in the same way as you do. So
I'm trying not to spend as much time. Do you know how much time you spend on your phone now? Do you ever check your time, like, meter?
Well, too much. I mean, well, the truth is, like, if you're not on Twitter 24/7, you miss news.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not on, like for us, like, not just people, like, waiting to see what the president tweets or somebody on the opposite end of the spectrum just so they can jump all over them and get after their ass. That's the sickness. Like, for us, it's a sickness, but I think it's a different kind of sickness because, like, you know, like, if you're off Twitter for a couple hours and somebody comes to you, like, did you hear about this? And you're like, no, I didn't know. You feel like an a-hole. You
not
know,
only that, I mean, it impacts your show.
It's
because,
where news is.
Yeah.
It's where all the news is now. And you have to find a way to sift through it. And we all get more savvy over the years as to figure out who's a fake and who's not. We've all been fooled once or twice by some stupid fake account or somebody that wasn't verified or somebody spreading something that's not true. But the truth is, for what we do, like, we have to monitor Twitter so we stay on top of what's happening so we don't sound stupid on the air. That's where all the news is. It's sad.
Do you remember a time, like, as I try to think back, do you remember when you got your first cell phone?
Yeah.
How old were you?
Yes, I do. Well, you know, I lived in the pager world here in Los Angeles. You know,
yes.
I'm not sure.
I remember the pager world, like, but not everybody had a pager, just some people.
I had a pager and a Hello Kitty pager chain. And the thing about the pager was, you know, it was almost reverse technology in that you'd get a page and you'd have to pull over like 8 lanes on the 110 freeway, get off, find a payphone in South Los Angeles. And call somebody back only to figure that it was like, you know, you think it's some hot chick and it's some guy you don't want to talk to. Like, hey, what are you doing next week? You know, I mean, it was always something terrible. But I remember pagers. I remember JJ, the king of beepers in Los Angeles, who would literally have billboards with a giant beeper and like a girl in a bikini straddling the beeper as if she was having sex with it. And then I got to say, though, there was the song. Remember Back to the Hotel by In Too Deep, the white guy rap?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Yes.
I think it was Houston, and it was beep, 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 beep. They had the pager in the song. So, like, I was much more connected to the pager as a romantic thing, probably because of Menace to Society and stuff like that, as opposed to the cell phone. Remember when everybody who had a pager was a drug dealer?
That's what I was going to say. Like, everybody that I knew back in Nashville in the day, like, they all had pagers for nefarious reasons, right? Like, there wasn't a reason why you would have a pager that would be... I mean, there were a couple of kids who were, like, trying to show off, like, oh, I'm... You know, was it, like, who are you trying to get called by, right? And like you said, it's not that cool.
Well, that was me. I had a pager, and, well, my older brother had a pager.
Yeah.
And he, like, found Jesus or something, and he gave me the pager.
Yes.
And so now I'm in high school with a pager, and I even had, like, a line to my room with the pager number on the message. So it was like, hey, you've reached, or like, hey, you've reached Petros, and I'm not around. You know, there was a song in the background, Party in Session by Black Uhuru. And I was like, you know, but if you don't want me, you know, if you want to reach me right now, you can page me. And I gave my number. And Clay, no one ever paged me. It got so bad. I used to page myself. I'd go to the payphone at the high school because you had about a 35-second buffer, right?
Yeah.
So I paged myself on the cell phone, on the payphone at the high school, and then walk into a group of people and be like, oh, hold on, sorry, guys, gotta go, got a page, you know, here at 11 in the morning at a high school.
And then you'd have to go make a phone call, fake phone call on the
payphone. Very
pay
sad, yeah. It got sad, and I became humiliated with myself and ultimately threw the pager into the ocean.
Is this really true?
Yeah, and then I got one later, you know, in college. But in high school, I threw the pager in the ocean.
So the pager gets thrown in the ocean. I went through all the way through. It's interesting because I think there's like a – did you see the quotes from Pat Fitzgerald or see the video that kind of went viral?
Yeah.
Talking about cell phones and everything else. So I do think that there are a lot of people listening to me right now that are around our age – that, like, I went all the way through college without having a cell phone, right? So age 0 to 22. Now, I will say we had one of those big, when I was in high school, my mom was terrified of accidents, so I had one of those huge Zach Morris cell phones, but it cost like...
Oh, God.
You remember those?
Yeah.
But to call someone...
That's the call in the airstrike Vietnam phone.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly right. And it also was really expensive to have to call somebody. So I had it like it was like a ton of bricks, and it was like in the you never used it, but it was like my mom got it in the event that we had like a crash or, you know, like needed to make a call from the phone once we had our driver's license. We had like, I don't know, 10 minutes of total airtime a month, you know, and I have no idea what it costs or anything else. But I never used it. I never actually made a phone call from it because it was exclusively for emergencies. But so I didn't get one until I was like 22 or 23. And then for a long time, you know, another decade or so at least, they weren't that useful, right? They were useful as portable phones, like to use as actual phones. But it's only been in the last decade that really everybody's life has changed and we have these mini computers. Like, I remember the first guy I saw with an iPhone and the BlackBerry, which doesn't even exist now, but, you know, kind of turned into be called a CrackBerry. Like, our world totally changed with the phones becoming more prevalent, and I don't know that we all realized how much.
No, it changed, and I don't know if it changed for the better, but you don't need me to make, you know, some kind of crazy social commentary. All I remember is texting and how much easier it was to get, like, when I was single, a girl to come over.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, you could literally send out a text like, hey, thinking about you. Like, it used to be so hard, you know, and now, of course, with all the dating apps and stuff like that, you know, you basically, you know, it's like DoorDash, you know,
yeah,
if you're
right.
kind of good looking. But I just remember how crazy that was and just being like, wow, I was really at the beginning of that. And then, you know, of course, got married. But
I remember one of my buddies said,
I couldn't believe how easy texting, like you could send the same text in the middle of the night to like five different people. And I'm sure it wasn't unique to me. You know, like, hey, what's up? You know, and it was that easy, as opposed to, like, you know, all the juxtaposition and planning to try to be around women that you had to do when you actually had to speak to people.
Oh, yeah. Look, one of my friends said to me a couple of years ago, like, when the dating apps really started taking off, he turned to me dead serious and he said, I never would have gotten married if I had known that, you know, like, Tinder was coming. It was like this.
Well, I just remember, you know, I just remember being in like Lubbock, Texas with like people, you know, guys from Los Angeles. Like, it just says Los Angeles. I mean, you could look like Quasimodo, but it says Los Angeles on your thing. And the guy, like, you think he went to the bathroom and then he comes back to dinner about an hour later. You're like, where did you go? It's like, well, I just had sexual intercourse with a local. And now I'm back. It was just like, my God in heaven. You know, it is truly a different time.
It is amazing because you do think as you get older, it gets harder and harder to meet people. And that was his point, was like, and you get tired of going to bars and you get tired of like blind dates or sitting around on Match.com, like sending emails all day. And then boom, Tinder shows up and it's just like, it's amazing how easy it is. And it's totally cosmetic, which for guys is great, right? Because you're just like, oh, she's good looking. Da, 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 da. You know, like, well, you're just flipping through.
What's the one where the girl picks you?
I think that's Bumble.
Well, that would be exciting, right?
Yeah, I think either way it would be great, right? I mean, if you're a guy and good-looking girls are willing to hook up with you solely because you have an app on your phone, it's not a bad way to be living. And you and I and everybody of our generation really never got that opportunity. But the flip side with that is, I would say, the phone. Like, I was on vacation last week, and it used
to
be...
I think that I still have a soul, though.
Yeah,
you
right.
know? But if, I mean, at a certain point, I think at a certain point, you do enough Bumble or
Tinder
or whatever, and your soul flies out of the hole in your penis.
I think that very much, well, could be the case.
Am I allowed to say that?
Well, I got a penis story for you.
About this too. I follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, I want to ask you that question too. In fact, you know what we'll do? We'll go to break, and you want to come back for another segment?
Do I?
Do you? All right, that's great.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios. Go further than ever with the Discover Miles card. They automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year, so your 35,000 miles could become 70,000 Discover It miles. Limitations apply. Discover match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. Petros Papadakis with us. During the break, you, because you are so on the ball with the latest in the world of sports, pointed out that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are scheduled to be introduced for the first time as Clippers. Does it still sound strange to you to say that?
No, because I think it's something people have been talking about happening for a couple years, and the Clippers have put themselves in a position to do this for a couple years. You know, they traded Blake Griffin and got rid of that contract in relative anonymity. I mean, nobody knew that was going to happen. You know, they got Chris Paul to trade as opposed to just leave them high and dry. So they got stuff out of that. You know, they traded Toby Harris in the season right after he won a game for him late at night. Nobody saw that coming. So they put themselves in a position to do this. It is a little surrealistic to think that it actually happened. You know, all the analytical talk for years actually came to fruition and became human beings. You know, cap space is the most, I mean, he is the best prospect player in the history of the world. If you just got a jersey with a zero on it that said cap space on it, that's the best. Forget LeBron, forget anybody. Just the cap space jersey is really the most promising jersey in the world, and it's the most confounding because it doesn't really exist. It's just something you talk about. But when that happens and it becomes a person, like the cap space jersey became a LeBron James and Anthony Davis jersey for the Lakers,
right,
which is a big deal if it wasn't overshadowed by the fact that they pursued and lost Kawhi. The cap space became a Clipper jersey with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George on it, which is really amazing. We know that they have great ownership. We know that the perception of the league is different. Obviously, the fan bases are drastically different and all that. But this just proved all the stuff that people have been saying over the years about this ownership group and front office, right? And I guess in that regard, I'm not surprised.
We're talking to Petros Papadakis. You can listen to him, AM 570 LA Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at The Old P. He is on the Petros and Money Show every afternoon. He is on with us now as on Wednesday, actually, because you came on with us on Wednesday because Tulsi Gabbard, Democratic presidential candidate, came on with us Tuesday, which was its own story, and she made news, and that kind of popped in a funny way, given the fact that she's the first Democratic presidential or Republican presidential candidate to come on the show. So that was actually pretty fun. But I want to go back to we were talking about phones.
I put a candidate on. I've only put one presidential.
Who'd you put
on my show? And I did get a lot of backlash from listeners. Like that, why wasn't I on? Why do you have this political person on? I'm sure you got a lot of that too.
I actually did. Who did you have on?
No, you didn't have me on yesterday. Instead, you had a political candidate.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought you said you've only had one political candidate on before.
Oh, I have, yeah. No, I did. Yeah, I had Rudy Giuliani.
How did that happen?
He was running for president. He wanted to come on.
Oh, okay. And so what was the reaction when you put him on? Were people upset?
No.
Yeah.
Not back then.
Yeah, look, I mean, the reaction for Tulsi Gabbard was like 99% positive. I think people just enjoyed hearing. It was like I was getting into, detailed policy discussion. I think, you know, look, if a candidate wants to come on and they're interested somewhat in sports and it spirals into an interesting direction, I'm more than happy to have them on. But we were talking, I want to circle back around to our pager and cell phone discussion. We were talking about what impact the phones have had in our life and Pat Fitzgerald and everything else. And now when I go on vacation, there are some days where I just want to leave my phone and not be able to be reached, right? It's the exact opposite, right, of what we used to live where you're like, oh, it's awesome. I got this phone. I can talk to anybody anywhere. They can find me anywhere. And now I feel like we're kind of circling back around on the other direction where it's like, I wish I couldn't be found. I wish I couldn't be reached.
It used to be a lot easier to escape. You
yeah.
know, I mean, when you went to dinner with somebody, you really went to dinner with somebody. You know, if you went on a drive with somebody, you know, you were just more present in every moment, I guess. And these things sort of take us out of that. So whenever you can sort of get back to the dark ages, I guess it's a good thing. But then again, you're going to get clowned by the J-Marks of the world and the Danny G's. If you didn't know what's going on, you know, if you didn't know about the Kawhi Leonard presser today at noon on AM 570 LA Sports Pacific Time, then you're going to get punked because it's your job to have all of this stuff right at your fingertips and be right about everything and not be surprised by any information ever.
It is interesting in that respect.
That's how my radio partner is. You cannot tell my radio partner anything.
He already knows it all.
Every once in a while. Oh, yeah. Like, you'll be like, hey, didn't you hear there's a nuclear holocaust going on in New Mexico? Yep, saw it. Totally saw it. I mean, there's just no way. I mean, I couldn't get up at 2 in the morning and beat that guy to any information. And that is the race we're running, Clay. It is a horrible hamster's wheel of death.
That is such a fantastic way of putting it. All right, so I'll quickly here as we finish off, with Petros Papadakis. Let me give you this. Story. So my boys, I've got three. The 11 and the 8 year old are getting to the age where bodily humor is becoming, you know, something that they talk about, right? And I'm not just talking about like poop and fart jokes and stuff like that. Like every now and then they're dropping in a penis joke. And sometimes they're loud with it, right? Like, you know, you're out and you're like, ooh, you know, that's like they don't know necessarily tact at all, as no 11 and 8 year old boys do. You know, you have no idea for their own, like their voice, they don't know how it carries. And it's going to get even worse when they're like 12 and 14, you know, and they're like a total mess.
What kind of penis jokes are we talking
about? Not like extremely. No, I mean, just like, you know, like. I mean, first of all, using the word penis to them is really funny. So, like, saying it loudly is something that, you know, like, they are prone to do now every now and then. And so I was like, you know what, I got to have a conversation with them about, and I've never in my life felt like more of a hypocrite than when I sat down with them and I was like, hey, we got to dial back the penis jokes, boys. You know, they're getting to be a little bit out of control, and you know they're loud. And you know your mom and I are out to dinner, and we can't have you screaming penis or telling a joke that the other tables can overhear. And like seeing their faces and trying to make this argument with them, it was like it was almost impossible to make this to make. Like I've never felt like being a parent was more difficult or that I've been more of a hypocrite than trying to tell them that they were making penis jokes too loudly.
I have 2 points to make regarding that story. Number one, everything I tell my kids, I feel like a hypocrite because no one was the worst. I was the worst kid in the world.
Yes.
And me screaming at my kids, be nice to your mother. I mean, these are literally things I just could not do as a young person. You know, that's not how we act.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. That is exactly how we act. And that is how I, you know, I'm a terrible hypocrite, so I feel your pain. When it comes to the word penis, and I know how much it annoys some of your more delicate pearl-clutching listeners, and I understand that. AM radio used to be a place for wholesome talk, but we just can't afford that anymore. I would say it's better just to say it in Greek. If you can get the kids to say it, like most people that I hang out with in my circle of friends, they just start to use that word.
What is the word?
I don't
word?
Know if they use it. Putzo.
Putzo. Oh, that's a great idea for me to give to them.
And it's a bad word in Greek. But nobody, like, there's literally nobody that's going to call you on it in the United States of America. I say it all the time. And you could say it on the radio, whatever. And everybody loves to say putzo. And it's not going to offend anybody, even though they know exactly what you're talking about.
Putzo, indeed. That's Petros Papadakis. I am Clay Travis. This has been Outkick the Coverage. We'll be back next with Hour 2. More on Outkick next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
Live from the Geico Outkick Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And we're brought to you by TrueCar. When it comes to selling or trading in your car, you need to make good choices. And with TrueCar, you've got a star on your roster. So when you're ready to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar. True cash offer not available in all areas. We, however, are available in all areas. The Tulsi Gabbard story blew up, got a lot of attention over what she said with us. And by the way, you guys were fantastic. A lot of you reaching out to Tulsi Gabbard, Democratic presidential candidate, thanking her for coming on the show. I thought we had a fun and interesting conversation with her. I hope that other candidates, Republicans, Democrats, whoever they may be, will reach out and be interested in coming on and talking with us, because I think the feedback on that was fantastic. Feedback that is not always fantastic is when your Madden football ratings come out. If you're just waking up with us, there's five people at the top of the list with Madden that probably there's not a lot of question about, right? Number one overall player in the NFL at the quarterback position, according to the newest Madden ratings, Patrick Mahomes. Then you go to Tom Brady. Then you got Philip Rivers. Then you have a tie between Andrew Luck, Andrew Brees. From there, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Ben Roethlisberger. I think most of those guys, there's almost consistency about. We go to Cam Newton, and then I think we get into a lot of uncertainty. Baker Mayfield. My hypothesis here as we go through the remainder of the quarterbacks is, I'm saying if you were the Miami Dolphins, who do not right now believe that they have a future franchise quarterback, let's assume Josh Rosen's not going to pan out, We know that Ryan Fitzpatrick has not got a lot of years left no matter what. Would you give these guys five-year contracts if you were the Miami Dolphins? I'm just using them as a proxy for a team that definitely needs a quarterback and probably doesn't have one on its roster right now. Okay, so we both said no on Jared Goff. I said no on Cam. You said yes.
Yeah, let me say something about that, because I was sitting here thinking about that during the break. He was drafted in 2011. He is 30 years old, just turned 30 years old.
Yep. Which is not old for a quarterback usually.
Yeah, remember we actually discussed this on the show years ago about how 29 is the accepted where you're supposed to peak as a quarterback. So he's a little past that, and he's dealt with more injuries than I think people realize. I mean, he's had back problems. He's had neck issues.
Shoulder.
He's had leg issues. Shoulder, that's right. He's taken a beating. He was sort of the poster child for trying to protect quarterbacks because he, you know, kind of balked at it with some of the hits that he was taking on Monday Night Football a couple of years ago. So I am torn. I think he might be the toughest call for me because I know what he can do, but I also know I don't know how much longer he can play just because of how beaten up he is. So I'm going to stick with yes, but I'm by no means comfortable about that.
All right, I'm no on Cam. Baker Mayfield, I'm a yes.
Oh, yeah.
100%. You are, I assume, as well. Deshaun Watson.
He's a yes for me. I mean, he was my favorite guy in that draft. I thought he should have gone number one. I certainly thought he should have gone over Mitchell Trubisky. He's another guy where it just depends. Some of these, we have to throw a situation out and just look at it from the team perspective. I know what Deshaun Watson's capable of. I also know he's probably going to throw a couple potentially to the other team. But I would definitely pay for Deshaun Watson.
I think Deshaun Watson's a yes. I'm a little bit nervous about the injury situations, and maybe that's partly because they can't protect him, but he's torn an ACL in both legs, and that does make me a little bit nervous. But when he's healthy on the field, I believe in him, so I would go yes. I think he's worth the risk. Carson Wentz, and by the way, I think it's crazy that Carson Wentz is this far down on the list.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Has to be based on health, but I think Carson Wentz has the potential to be a top five quarterback. A no-brainer yes for me in terms of signing him.
Yeah, I had him just outside the top five. I might have had him number six last year when I ranked the quarterbacks. And yeah, the injury thing is the only thing that might scare you off, but I mean, it's ridiculous that he is being discussed in this particular list.
What about Dak? Because this is basically the decision that the Cowboys have to make.
I know. I'm not a Dak guy, even though I love the intangibles. I think he's a winner. I love his character. I love everything about him, except for the fact that I just don't necessarily believe in a consistent ability from Dak Prescott to throw the football. And that bothers me. He misses some throws that he should not be missing. He makes some plays for you, but I don't think you win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott as your best player, and I think your quarterback should be your best player.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think I could commit for 5 years to Dak. Now, the Cowboys may end up doing it. They got controversy with Ezekiel Elliott. They're going to have to decide what to do with Amari Cooper. And Jerry Jones's fevered dreams, I think he wants it to be Aikman, Irvin, and Emmitt Smith all over again. I'm just not sure that that trio has it put together, and I'm certainly most leery of the comparison between Dak and Aikman, honestly. So I think we're both there. Cousins, Kirk Cousins, I think I would do it. I understand that Minnesota Viking fans are probably rolling their eyes, and Redskins fans certainly would love to be in this position. We could have, by the way, picked the Washington Redskins almost as easily as we picked the Miami Dolphins, but they did draft Dwayne Haskins, so they've at least got a young draft pick there. Would you give 5 years to Cousins?
Yes, I don't feel grand about it. He made my top five list last summer of the most overrated persons in all of sports. And that overrated sounds like a slight. It doesn't mean they're bad. It just means they're not worth their hype. Outsizes what they're actually going to be able to do for you. I think Kirk Cousins can be great. He's another one that's a little bit inconsistent for me. I didn't love the signing. I mean, I know why Minnesota signed him, but I thought they paid him more money than he's actually going to be worth in the end. So I'll say yes, because I don't know how many better guys you could find than Kirk Cousins, but I also don't think if you bring in Kirk Cousins to my Miami Dolphins that we are going to be winning a Super Bowl.
Derek Carr.
It's tough. It looked like he was on some kind of trajectory.
I mean,
right,
he would have been the MVP
Christmas Eve
until he broke his leg.
Yeah, same day as Mariota broke his leg. I would say no. I just don't know enough at this point, and I have not been particularly impressed with him since he came back. He also seems to be a little bit soft when it comes to his character in terms of being able to take criticism and things like that. I just don't know on that one. I'm torn on that one, too. I might say yes on the right day. Today, I'm going to say no.
I think I would say yes, but that might be buying into the hype about what he's going to do this year. Right now, I think there's probably not enough evidence. I think there's a lot of Raider fans who said, hey, we already bought this meal, and I'm not sure we're getting a great gig on it, a great deal on it. So I would kind of very nervously say yes. Andy Dalton, I'm betting both of us say no.
Definitely not. I still can't believe. It's like, how long are the Cincinnati Bengals just going to continue to trot him out there to win them eight games?
Well, I think it's the quintessential.
He's like, the Tyrod Taylor here.
I think it's the quintessential you're afraid of being worse, right? Like, if you're right around that middle ground, I think Andy Dalton is somewhere around the 16th to the 22nd best quarterback,
yes,
in the NFL,
agreed,
right? And you're afraid that if you let him go, you're going to have the 28th or 29th or 30th or 32nd
great,
best quarterback.
Great, but you need to bottom out so that you can be at the top of,
yeah,
the draft and actually find an Andrew Luck or a Trevor Lawrence or whoever it is that you like, a Justin Herbert, whatever it is. Like, Andy Dalton makes you just good enough to make it hard to replace him.
All right, Mariota can't do it.
Nope.
Can't do it right now.
Nope.
What about, and I'm kind of surprised he's this far down on the list. He's actually below Mariota and Andy Dalton. What about Matthew Stafford?
Man, Matthew Stafford's arm talent is outrageous.
Yep.
I mean, just outrageous. And I think he's a good locker room guy. But at his age, that one's really, really tough. Like, I could sit here and debate that 5 minutes.
I think I might
pay him.
I think I probably would. Still has not ever won a playoff game.
No.
I think it's like 40-some-odd years since, maybe 50, since the Detroit Lions even won a playoff game. Am I right about that?
I'm looking it up right now.
Look that. It's been, I mean, Barry Sanders, I don't think, maybe they, I don't think they ever won a playoff game with Barry Sanders.
Well, I can tell you, as of May the 23rd, they had not won a playoff game in 10,000 days.
It's a lot of days. But my wife is from Detroit, so I remember looking this up. There was a fun like roster of how long it's been since you won a playoff game, and it's amazing how many different teams had been almost forever. So you can keep looking that up if you can find it right now.
Here it is.
Yeah.
January the 5th, 1992.
Okay, they did win
Dallas.
One in 92. All right. So that's not that far. I mean, what is that? And 92 doesn't sound that old to me when you say it, but now that's almost 2020.
Yeah, we're old,
I mean,
bud.
27 years?
Yeah, it's
is
been a
right?
minute. It's been 10,000 days. It's been, let's see, 2012. Yes, it would have. I'm terrible at math, but yes, that's right. 27 years.
All right. So I said 40. It's actually been 27. All right. What about Garoppolo?
Yes.
I don't think I would.
I don't know. Like, I mean, look how long I just had to pause to think about,
yeah,
that. I don't know. I need to see more. That's the only thing, because we saw him come in. I don't know if the league's going to figure him out or if Shanahan's going to make him look better than he is. He might be a Jared Goff, honestly. He might be another one of those kind of guys. And the same way I feel about Goff might end up being the same way I feel about Jimmy G. Plus, he's coming off a pretty bad injury. I just need to see. I need to see more from him. So maybe I'll pull that back and say no, because I don't know enough to hand him the keys.
What about Foles?
I think that Nick Foles is a backup disguised as a starter. He has a great Halloween costume. I would not pay him.
I would not pay him. Okay, so here are the last guys on the list. Lamar Jackson, I would not pay. Jameis Winston, I would not pay. And Mitch, this is crazy. If you're a Bears fan, Mitch Trubisky is rated in Madden below Jameis Winston, Lamar Jackson, Nick Foles, Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, that's a pretty rough spot to find yourself in, right?
Yeah, I mean, I could see him above a couple of those guys, but not a whole lot. And you
so
remember,
we agree,
yeah,
that you wouldn't sign any of those guys either.
No, I don't think so. I mean, you're talking about a 5-year deal to really either set your franchise up or set it back. And
yeah, you're
I
talking about $125 yes. million dollars, basically. I mean, $25 million a year. I mean, none of these guys are right now Russell Wilson caliber, where you're getting well over $30 million. They're not top 10 guys, but the market value for veteran quarterbacks who are outside of their rookie deal is going to be $20 million plus. And so, I mean, I think that's really the decision that a lot of these teams are going to be faced with, right? Like, the Dallas Cowboys have to decide, what do we do with Dak? The Tennessee Titans have to decide, what do we do with Mariota? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have to decide, what do we do with Jameis Winston? Some of these guys are still young enough where their you know, salaries are not up for bid right now. But for Mariota, for Winston, and I would say for Dak, all three of those guys right now, this season coming up is worth probably $150 million to them, right? Because if they come out and any one of those three has a electric, outstanding season and leads their team into the playoffs, again in the case of Dak and Mariota, for the first time in the case of Jameis, they're going to get huge contracts, right? I mean, the first 4 years won't matter. We live in an era right now where if you perform at the right time, right as you're coming to market, then those teams, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tennessee Titans, and the Dallas Cowboys, are all going to try to get deals done and get deals done for big-time dollar figures. Now, with Jameis and with Mariota, there's maybe not as much pressure on the team because they can always franchise.
Yep.
They have to give a lot of money for 1 year guarantee, but they can say, okay, we want to see you do it for multiple years. And certainly I would imagine both Jameis and Mariota are going to sit around and say, no, we want to be paid right now what our fair market value is, and it's a multi-year guarantee. So I do think that's going to be an intriguing storyline to follow as we move into the NFL season. But I think just by running through that list, which again was based on the Madden rankings, you kind of get a sense for how much uncertainty there is. Once you get outside of back, basically like the top 10 guys, there's not that many teams that feel very comfortable about their quarterback situation.
Now, let me ask you this question. Where would you put Kyler Murray? I know we haven't seen him play a single down in the NFL, but where do you believe in Kyler Murray in terms of if you had the opportunity to pay him, knowing what little we know right now, which is just what we saw in college, where would you put him?
I would put him down around, you know, the bottom five of that list. I mean, I just the problem for me with Kyler Murray, I love Cliff Kingsbury and what he's been able to do offensively, so I think he's in the perfect system. I just really wonder and whether a 5'9" quarterback is capable of dominating in the NFL. And that might be an unfair statement, but I mean, I look towards history oftentimes in trying to project guys as to who they can be, ceilings and floors. And Johnny Manziel looked like, as much as I loved watching him play, he looked tiny on the football field, and he's faster and has a bigger arm than Doug Flutie. And Johnny Manziel's substantially bigger, I think, than Kyler Murray. Now, he may not have had the perfect system, certainly with the Cleveland Browns. He certainly did not have the best coach, but it's just hard for me to believe that he's going to be outstanding. But it's a good question. I want to remind you, make sure you don't miss our new Wins and Losses podcast that I'm doing. It's a podcast exclusive. This week's guest is Kirk Herbstreit. Couple of hours. I think you guys are going to love it. If you're a college football fan at all, you need to listen. The only place you can get it is through the podcast universe. It's podcast exclusive. You can also always go download this podcast. Make sure you don't miss anything. I'm going to be teeing off here later today, the PGA, the WGC event down in Memphis.